scripture lesson. It's Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. The title is The Judgment of the Nations, and we're going to be considering this scripture from several vantage points. The first is from Jesus' perspective, and the next is from our perspective. So two vantage points we'll explore through this scripture. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He'll sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He'll separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He'll put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at the left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed Me. I was naked, and you gave Me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of Me. I was in prison, and you visited Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry? And when was it that we gave you food or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick and in prison and visited you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of My family, you did it to Me." Then He'll say to those who are on the left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from Me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome Me. Naked, and you did not give Me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit Me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry, and we saw you thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then Jesus will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Let's respond with our song. You know, it can be said of me that each Sunday is a whole new adventure in itself, and so I've always need to check with the bulletin. I don't know about you. Let's pray together. Holy God, we give You thanks for this day. We thank You for the chance to take stock of ourselves and perhaps consider in quiet and reflection the lists for this week. There is food to prepare. There may be silver to polish. There may be china to haul down from the attic or up from the basement. God, there may be special kinds of recipes we need to track down from closets or drawers that we haven't used since last year. There is a lot on our minds. We are awaiting and we are hungry and thirsty for a break. We are hungry and thirsty for a change in the routine, out of our regular ho-hum, morning to night lives. And so we long for Thanksgiving. And as we pause on this day, remind us who we are and remind us why you've called us to be a blessing. For we are blessings not to enjoy and lavish the blessings on ourselves, but instead to turn and face members of your family whom we do not know and lavish blessing and thanksgiving on them. Maybe, God, we just offer a coat or a blanket or a cup of water. Remind us, God, remind us, remind us. Amen. There are a couple of perspectives in this scripture, and here's one perspective. The picture of Jesus in the story. Jesus is on a throne, and he's judging the sheep from the goats. He's separating those who have done ministry from those who have not done ministry. Jesus is dividing those who have followed up their faith with action from those who have only jabbered about their faith. The Son of Man is on the throne in glory and with angels circling with the high and mighty. I imagine Jesus to have a huge staff or a stick, maybe a shepherd's staff. Maybe in the land of Harry Potter, Jesus would have a magic wand. And Jesus is sorting the good from the bad. And Jesus is sorting the faithful from the unfaithful, those who have fed and clothed and welcomed and visited from those who have kept themselves closed and apart and isolated from the needs of others in the world. This is about categorizing, and Jesus has come up with the categories. Now, from this scripture, we understand that at some point, we will be held accountable. Can I get an amen to that? It makes me a little scared to get an amen. Because there will be a comeuppance at some point. There will be a confrontation between us and this holy judge named Jesus. And it will be more painful than anything we've witnessed on the People's Court with Judge Wapner, or even with Judge Judy, or with Judge Mathis. This court appearance will be more nerve-wracking than our own appearances in court. I won't ask you if you've had any. Because our whole lives, eternity, will be at stake in this judgment of the nations. This is serious. Now, according to the Wonder Pets, which Ivan watches sometimes, there's a little duck named Ming Ming, and she says, "This is serious." Sometimes thanks for those of you who got it. thank you. Ivan loved it, but, you know, adults are a little different. So sometimes we, with our best intentions, we want to scoot Jesus over just a little bit, so that we might share the throne with Jesus. We want to just scoot in on this judgment so that we can get the viewpoint that Jesus has in this parable. We want to view the sheep and the goats with Jesus' eyes, and we want to look down on the sheep and the goats with his eyes. And we want to be able to sort the good from the bad. We want to be high and mighty, judging and deciding with Jesus just who is in and who is out. Can I get an amen to that? Well, my friends, this really isn't our place in the scripture. We like to assume that our place in this parable is with Jesus, because we like to sit on the judgment seat. It happens on the field at elementary school when we pick teams for baseball or dodgeball. It happens in our gym on open gym nights. I see you laughing, Brian. I'm usually one of the last kids selected at open gym on Thursday nights, because when it comes time to choose teams, dodgeball skills are on the line. And they are judged and categorized, and even the youngest captain knows that the preacher can't play. Judging, discerning, deciding, sorting, categorizing. Well, this helps us make sense of life. And sometimes life is just nonsensical and chaotic. We easily separate the good guys from the bad guys. This is one of my boys and girls' favorite questions when Olivia was younger. Mommy, just who is the bad guy in this movie? And just who is the good guy in this movie? We like to know the right people, and we like to stay away from the wrong people. We need to know the people who can do the job and the people who cannot. When we view this story as if we're sitting on the throne of judgment with Jesus, we miss how Jesus profoundly identifies with the least and the last and the lost. Jesus profoundly identifies and even says that the hungry and the thirsty, the naked and the stranger, the newcomer and the one in prison, that those people are members of his family. And all of a sudden, the view shifts from Jesus, the high and mighty in judgment, to Jesus, the meek and the lowly. The Jesus we're going to sing about, the Jesus that some radio station already has Christmas music out about. I forget, I think it's 95.7, 97.5. Maybe that's not even right. It shifts from high and mighty to meek and lowly. Those who are hungry and thirsty, those who are strangers and need to be welcomed, those who are unclothed and sick and in prison. Now, Jesus may be on the throne in this story, but he's not forgotten where he came from. He's not gotten above his raising at the end of time when he comes in glory. And Jesus has not left his kin behind at his heavenly vantage point. Jesus has not abandoned his roots. You see, our viewpoint in this story is horizontal. It is not vertical. It's horizontal. We've got to look around at each other. And we've got to see that the people we're sitting beside are members of our family and members of Jesus' family. And we've got to stop looking at them as if we are in the judgment seat. For it's Jesus in the judgment seat and not us. Amen? If we want to be members of Jesus' family, then we're all on the same plane. It's an equal and level playing field. For that's really the test of judgment. How have you, how have I, reached out to those in our community who are hungry and thirsty, perhaps through ABCCM? Have you helped provide an extra coat, new or gently used, through Western North Carolina Rescue Mission? For someone who might as well be naked if they don't have a winter coat to face the harsh winters here. How about a blanket? Did you offer or bless a blanket this past Wednesday in our last Wednesday night service of 2011? Have you offered just one little hello, or do you need help? How have you welcomed newcomers in our community or in our church? Have you gone across town to visit somebody in that fancy jail we have? I haven't been there, but I want to go there. I want to see what that fancy jail's like. Or have you gone down to Pisgah Villa and visited somebody who's imprisoned in a frail and aging body? Look around. See all these struggling people? These struggling people are us, you and me. Do you offer help in some way, even a measly cup of water? And even more, when we look at ourselves, when we take stock of ourselves, when we are honest with ourselves, we realize that even we've been hungry and thirsty. Amen? Even we've been abandoned or disappointed and left alone. Amen? Even we have felt strange in a strange place and no one has come to welcome us. Even we might have felt imprisoned, either in a job that we hate or in some kind of relationship that continues to haunt us and oppress us. When we think of ourselves as members of Jesus' family, we expect Jesus and his people to come to us with a cool drink of water or with food. We expect the people of Jesus to show up at our doors with blankets and a hot thermos of coffee. Don't we? Yes. We expect Jesus and members of Jesus' family to be there with a smile, a hug, and with the all-embracing freedom of grace. And that's why we're here today. Because Jesus is here. And Jesus is going to meet us where we hurt, because Jesus is a member of our family. And Jesus knows that we're hungry and thirsty in some way or another. And Jesus knows that we've been in prison in some way or another. We've been abandoned or left alone. We've been stripped naked and exposed in front of people in a figurative way. And Jesus is here, and Jesus' people are here to heal us and make us whole. So today, we're not on the judgment seat with the Lord Christ. Instead, we're with each other. Brothers and sisters and mamas and daddies and granddaddies and grandmamas and cousins and friends and neighbors. And we're all members of that family of Jesus. Hungry, thirsty, in prison, naked, lonely, strange. Amen to that. And there's some oil, Rose of Sharon oil. And we're going to receive anointing for healing, reminding ourselves that Jesus comes to heal us and make us whole, because Jesus is a member of our family, and indeed we are members of the best family, the family and the body of Christ. Amen.
Please stand for our song of joy, number 176, Majesty. Worship His Majesty.
To say that Fred just keeps on giving. I haven't located my healing oil from Bethlehem, but what do you know? There's a little jar of healing oil called the Rose of Sharon oil that Fred left us. So we give thanks for Fred. I'd like to invite Louise to come forward, and we're going to have two stations of healing oil. This is Rose of Sharon oil from Israel, Palestine, and it's housed in two containers. The first is shaped like a fish, and it's made out of olive wood. I got it on a trip to Israel-Palestine a few years ago. And it's hollowed out in the middle just for healing oil. And Louise is going to have that oil. This second container is actually made of sludge from Lake Junaluska. Several years ago, the lake was drained supposedly for the last time. You know, it's been drained over and over again. And a family of potters, mud daubers, there in Brevard and two places. It's a family that has been doing pottery for a long time in these mountains. They asked for the sludge from the lake. And out of that sludge, they made beautiful vessels for worship and prayer and praise. And this is a sign that as a member of Jesus' family, you don't have to be perfect by any means. In fact, we are made whole when we realize we're hungry and thirsty, that the hungry and thirsty aren't out there, just out there. They're not them out there or downtown or wherever we think they are, hungry and thirsty and lost and least and imprisoned and strange. That indeed, we are in need of healing and wholeness from Jesus. We are hungry and thirsty, and that's what makes us part of Jesus' family. And this is a reminder that when we submit ourselves to healing and wholeness and the opportunity to receive from the great physician, then we receive a kind of cross and vow of membership in a fancy and wonderful, humble and lowly family that's meant to be a blessing to the whole world. So as we proceed for this healing and wholeness, Louise is going to be in the back of the sanctuary. I'll be in the front. And we'll make the sign of the cross either on your forehead or on your palm as you come forward. You can receive healing for yourself or for a situation you know about, or you can receive anointing for healing on behalf of someone else. If there's someone you know, a family member, a friend who's struggling, you can receive anointing for healing for that situation as well. So come representing yourself in need or someone else in need. Jesus is here offering healing.